Lord, I pray that you bless John now. I know that he has studied the Bible and has spent many hours on preparing this. Bless him and bless us as we benefit from his hard work. And I would ask that this is more than a lecture, but this is a time when we open our hearts to receive what you're saying to us through a study of your Bible, your words that you've written for our benefit. So we know that you're here, and we're soaking you up. Amen.
Right, am I on? I think I'm on. Can anybody hear me? Yes. Yes. Cool. So today we're going to be looking at Romans again. We've been doing a series as a church in the book of Romans. We've gradually been working our way over 2 years, 3 years, many years. It's a big book and there's a lot of stuff in it. But I want to start with a question. I want to start with a question. Have you ever heard anyone say, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere? Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. Now, run with me on this example to hopefully show you why such a statement is flawed. Take, for example, the breatharians. This is a particular belief that you can exist without eating any food or drinking any water, and there are a number of people who believe this to be true. Go and Google it if you want. Several who've tried even to practice it. But all of you here in this room know that we need food, we need water in order to survive. And eventually our body won't be able to function, and we're gonna die. It doesn't matter how sincere these breatharians are or how much they think that their way of life is sustainable, eventually their way of life leads to death. So the statement, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere, is a false statement. It really does matter what you believe in. False beliefs can lead to death. And so this matters most supremely in who we trust in for our salvation. And the talk today is going to focus on the amazing truth of salvation through faith in Jesus. And then we'll go on to explore the necessity of evangelism. After all, it's only right that we share such good news with other people. So yeah, the last few weeks we've been looking at Romans, and up to chapter 12, Paul he doesn't actually get to his application until chapter 12. He's just plodding through, laying down the bedrock of the gospel. And many have described the gospel as a diamond with many facets. There's many angles, there's many things about it. And it's so beautiful that we ain't going to get bored of it. We're going to be going on in heaven, carrying on exploring the gospel. And we're still going to be going, whoa, that's cool. I've never seen that before. For years and years and years, for an eternity, we're going to carry on discovering new things. And so this bit we'll look at today is from Romans chapter 9, verse 30, 10:21. And we'll pick up where Alex left off last week. And Alex had a couple of themes from last week and a couple of things in the passage. So there's Paul, who wrote the letter of Romans, and he is in unceasing anguish for his fellow Jews. Paul was a Jew himself, but came to trust in Jesus. And many of these Jews don't believe and trust in Jesus. And Paul is just longing. He's longing that they be saved. And he even goes as far as saying that he's willing to be cut off from Christ for their sake. For the Jews then, just because you were born an Israelite, just because you were born a Jew, did not mean that they were saved. It's something that was picked up in the passage last week. And it's the same for us today. Just because we might have been born in a Christian home, just because we might have been attending church all our lives, it doesn't mean that we're saved. The passage also talked about God's sovereignty. You remember Alex talking about God being more than fair. If God was fair, then we'd get the punishment that we deserve for our sins. But he's more than fair. He's gracious to us and kind, and we don't get the punishment that we deserve. As God chooses us to be his sons and daughters, to be his children. And we also saw how God's message of salvation is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Jew or Gentile, it's for everybody. And we saw this in the letter of Romans, as people were just trying to, particularly the Jews, were just trying to come to terms with this, the fact that people who weren't Jews were being blessed by God, were being saved and welcomed into his family. So if you've got a Bible, then it will be Romans 9, chapter 30, going to the end of chapter 10. It's also going to be on the screen, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So what does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that this took place. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law, instead of by trusting in him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, "I'm placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced." Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. For they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, "Don't say in your heart who will go up into heaven, bring Christ down to earth, and don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again." In fact, it says, "The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart." And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, "Lord, who has believed our message?" So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I asked, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, "I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles." And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, "I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me." But regarding Israel, God says, "All day long, I open my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious." It's quite a long passage, chapter and a bit. But hopefully we'll work our way through this and see two key things today. The first, which I'll focus most on, is that it's by faith that we are saved. I'm sure most of you will have heard this before, but whether you like really get it, really you really understand it for yourself, is another question. And the second is the importance of telling others the gospel. So going back to the start of this passage, it starts off and it's a bit topsy-turvy. It's a bit crazy because you've got Gentiles who, they're not Jews. They weren't even trying, the passage says, weren't even trying to follow God's standards, and they were being made right with God. And then on the opposite side, you've got Jews who were trying to be made right with God, not succeeding. That's a bit odd, doesn't it? And just how, to emphasize just how radical this is, the Gentiles, before believing in Jesus, lived lives that were just filled with sin. In Romans 1, Paul gives a huge list. Things like worshipping created things rather than the Creator. They were filled with sexual immorality. There was evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. I could go on. The list is big. The list is huge. But the remarkable thing is that the Gentiles, who were as far from God as you could imagine, were being made right with God. You see, the Gentiles grasped something that the Jews didn't. The Gentiles saw that Jesus is the one who can save. And as such, they were trusting in him, believing in him, and in so doing, finding life. The Jews, however, were stumbling. Stumbling over the rock, that is Christ, that is Jesus. They didn't get it. They didn't get him. They didn't get the gospel. They didn't get Jesus' purpose. They couldn't comprehend God's way of doing things. They thought you had to work to earn your salvation. And the Jews did work hard. Don't get me wrong. Paul talks about it. And Paul himself was one who worked super hard. You read the book of Acts just before Paul is converted. You see how Paul was super eager in many ways to fulfill the law, or to do what the law requires. And they were kind of like an archer shooting and missing the target. So these Jews who were, they had lots of zeal, they had lots of eagerness, you know, they're like an archer shooting. They weren't hitting bullseye, but they were trying again, and they were trying again and again and again. But the thing was, they weren't, not only were they missing the target, but they were shooting at the wrong one. They were going for a works-based salvation, not a faith-based salvation. And as hard as they would try, the Jews weren't going to be able to get salvation from their own efforts. And I wonder if you've ever thought that way. I wonder if you've ever thought that you could get salvation from your own efforts. Maybe you thought things like, okay, now's the time that I'm going to get in God's good books. Better make sure I'm doing everything good that I possibly can to sort of get into heaven, for God not to be angry at me. I'm going to go to church every week. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to go to every prayer meeting possible. You know, I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to pray through the night. I'm going to help the needy. I'm going to give my money to the poor. And lots of these things are good. But they're not the things that give you salvation. And Isaiah talks about this. Isaiah 64, verse 6. A little bit in it that says, all our righteous acts, even your best efforts, are like filthy rags. Pretty humbling. And the Jews thought that righteousness, that's our right standing before God, came from obeying the law. But what they hadn't realized or refused to believe is what it says in Romans 10, verse 4, that Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. Or as the ESV says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ's coming to earth, his death, his resurrection, has accomplished salvation for each of us. The law is no longer necessary for getting right with God. I should say, though, that this doesn't give us room to just sin as we please. It can be tempting to think that way. But there's numerous parts of Scripture that show that this is not what God intended. If you've got time, and maybe later today, could look at Romans 6, talk about that. Another thing to say is that Christ's work as being the end of the law for righteousness does not mean that the law is done away with. It's still got a purpose. The law still has a purpose, and its purpose, in being made right with God has been terminated. But what has not ended is our obligation to obey the law as a way to please God and express our gratitude to the God who saved us by grace. And it's easy to kind of mix these two things up, but they are different things. They are different things. You know, why are you trying to do good works? Is it from a place of trying to get God's favor? Or is it from a place of just wanting to please God and to honor God and to serve him and to bless him? There is a difference between them. And so in the next section, Romans 10, verse 5 through to 7, Paul makes it plain and clear how we're made right with God. Actually, through to verse 13. And whilst this section does say that perfect obedience to the law would make you right with God, the truth is that not one of us, no human who has ever lived, with the exception of Jesus himself, has ever done that. The very weakness of the law is our own weakness. And I am so glad that the way of faith is different, that I don't have to strive in order to get salvation, to be accepted into God's family. And the thing is, faith is different. Faith knows that the way of being made right with God is to openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. We don't need to search far and wide because Christ has already come. He has died and he is risen. Salvation is near to us. And in many ways, the gospel is simple, but we just overcomplicate it. We start adding things to it as we go on in our Christian life. And it's good to get back to the core, back to the simplest of creeds given in Romans 10, verse 9. Now, as a kid, I can remember a songwriter named Dave Godfrey. Seeing a few nods. Anybody else remember Dave Godfrey? No? Okay. So he wrote a song that included this. I could sing it, but it depends on how keen you are for me to sing it. Nobody wants me to sing it. Okay. He wrote a song, Romans 10, verse 9, and handily, he gave the reference in the song. So I've remembered this for about 15 years, since I was about, you know, a little 8-year-old or something. But yeah, Romans 10, verse 9, you know, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And Romans 10, verse 9, and 10:10, they sit together. They come as a pair. And so confessing and believing are like two sides of the same coin. There's this inward belief and this outward confession which come together. And there's also no notable difference between being saved and being justified in this way Paul talks about it. And one thing is to confess that Jesus is Lord is to say that Jesus is God. The word kurios, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, the Greek word that was often used in the Old Testament to describe God's personal name, Yahweh. So to call Jesus Lord affirms not just Jesus' deity, his godness, but also his supreme authority over the world. Because Caesar at the time was often called with kurios as well. And we must also believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That Jesus came to earth, died, and was resurrected for our sins. And now you'd be surprised how many so-called Christians don't actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They might have believed he existed, but they thought, nah, his resurrection, that's just figurative, it's not literal. He didn't actually rise. What does it matter anyway? Well, it matters a lot. It matters your salvation, whether or not you believe Jesus rose from the dead. And this news is so beautiful. This news of trusting in Jesus. This news of by faith being saved is so beautiful. And to top it off as well, it's not just for a small select group of people, but it's for anyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, anyone who trusts in him. And so, I don't know, people in this room, there's people from different countries here. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what upbringing you've had. Jesus is for you as much as he is for me. Jesus is for all of us, regardless of our age. And it gives us this promise that all who trust in Jesus are going to be saved. All who trust in him. Doesn't matter what your upbringing was. Doesn't matter how much you've been taught about Jesus in the past. If you trust in him, you will be saved. Maybe you've never actually committed your life to Jesus before. You've never believed and said to anyone that you trust in him. So why wait? Why wait for tomorrow when you can receive God's grace today? And then the next bit, Paul shifts his attention a little bit. Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. And Paul shifts his attention to the evangelist, the one who goes and spreads the good news about Jesus. And Paul makes clear some steps that are required before someone reaches a point where they can call on Jesus to be saved. And the role of the evangelist is as much needed today as it was then. So how else are people going to come to faith in Jesus? So if we put Paul's logic in reverse order, let me get a drink. So in reverse order, Paul says, if no one is sent, then who is there to tell others? And in ancient times, before the mass media, the role of the herald was vital. Their role was to tell large volumes of people the latest news. And if no one tells others about Jesus, then how will they have chance to hear? And hearing, most commentators here will say that hearing refers to hearing Christ speak through his messengers or ambassadors, actually hearing Jesus speaking through people. And if people don't hear about Jesus, how will they believe? To believe in Jesus, in the way that Paul uses the word here, means to believe the facts about Jesus' life. It's a bit different than John, if you've read John's gospel, who talks about believing in Jesus as like trusting in him for salvation. Here, this means to believe the facts about Jesus' life, you know, to know who Jesus was, to know the stories in the Bible, his life, his death, his resurrection. And then finally, if people don't believe, then how are they going to be saved? Hopefully you've seen here there's a link between the different bits. Each step leads on from the last one. And so if we as a church want to see people come in and know Jesus, then we've got to get our act together. We've got to get out and we've got to start telling people about Jesus. We've got to stop living comfortable lives, start being a bit radical. Asking people questions and listening to people, looking for opportunities that God gives you in your workplace, in your school, in your home, in your sports club. This really does matter. And it really does matter what you believe in. And there's many ways you can do this as a church. Some things that we host, Jesus at the Door every week, every Saturday on the streets, apart from the first Saturday of the month. I think it's 9:30, somewhere in the city centre, and they go out on the streets and they go out and tell people about Jesus, passers-by, other people out there. There's also Peaks and Pub. It's a really easy way. Just bring a mate along. Bring them into church family. Get them, you know, just getting to know people in the church. It's one step. You know, Paul's thing of being sent and telling others and hearing, they all link on from each other. So where can we be bringing people in? Where can we be bringing people into this? Maybe you're a student. I was a student a few years ago. And a great way is just to join the Christian Union. That's what I did. Spent a lot of time there. I'm a bit biased because I went and worked with them for a year in Newcastle. But this is a great way just to be telling people. They host loads of events. They want to tell the campus. They want to tell them about Jesus. And so there's loads of ways. I've only listed a few. But I'd encourage you just to be bold. Just to be bold and step out. One reason that we often don't share our faith is because we're comfortable with our friends and those around us not knowing about Jesus. We're comfortable with them, just believing what they want to believe. But we forget that if they don't call on Jesus, how are they going to be saved? That's what the Bible says. If you trust that and believe that, then there's this disconnect, isn't there? If you really believe it, then surely you'd be telling people. Surely you'd be confessing your belief. And then finally, in the last six verses of Romans, Paul ends by focusing back on the Jews. So why was it that many of them did not have faith in Jesus? Was it that they hadn't heard? No, they had heard. They had heard the gospel. Was it that they didn't understand? No, they did. So what was it then that stopped them believing? They've ticked all those boxes that Paul lists before someone is saved. But it was their hearts. They had hard hearts. They weren't willing to follow Jesus. They'd rather go off and do their own thing. And even God's there and his arms are open as an evangelist very much to the Jews. The Jews just turn their back and look away. And this has application to us. Maybe we've been sat in church for years. Maybe we've read our Bible. Perhaps we've even read it cover to cover. Maybe we've listened to loads of sermons. But still, that doesn't give you faith. Your heart needs to respond to the message. It is our kind of choice to believe in Jesus. We've got to balance that as well with Alex's talk from last week about God choosing us, but talk to me after if you want. So in summary, final things, the key points. So our salvation is not based on our works. How good's that? Doesn't that put a smile on your face? Your salvation is not based on your works. You don't have to carry on striving. It's just the richest of gifts from God, that he chooses us and that we trust in him. And as we're trusting in him, we're saved. We have life. We're part of his family. And then the second thing is the gospel is so good that it deserves to be shared. It deserves a hearing. It's like that diamond of many facets. It's so beautiful and captivating. And we need to keep winning our hearts over as well every day. If we're a bit cold to the gospel, we're a bit cold to the good news, just read the Bible, pray, ask God to soften your heart and to really make you just focus on him and love him. And no doubt God will answer your prayers. So we're going to shift into a time of ministry. So if you're able to, and want to, then why don't you stand with me and invite Hannah and Lydia up. Yeah, just to encourage you just to spend a little bit of time just in silence, just for a little bit of time as we just reflect on the things that, as you reflect on the things you've heard and what God might have been saying to you. So why don't you close your eyes? Or just get comfortable and just listen in. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come. You come and fill this room. And fill our hearts, Holy Spirit. lift our eyes to Jesus again.